From WAMC in Albany, this is the Legislative Gazette, a weekly magazine about New York State government and politics. Your host is David Gustina, with political commentary by Dr. Alan Shartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
Coming up this week, we catch up with the state's new education commissioner. Our political observer, Alan Shartok, shares his thoughts on a new poll that finds New Yorkers side with Governor Cuomo over his spat with Mayor de Blasio. And Attorney General Eric Schneiderman heads to the North Country to highlight so-called zombie properties. Those stories and more on the Legislative Gazette. New York's new education commissioner has been on the job just over a week, and she's been traveling the state on a listening tour to reach out to teachers, school boards, and others who have been buffeted by an intense political climate during the most recent legislative session. The Legislative Gazette's Karen DeWitt caught up with the commissioner, Mary Ellen Elia, at a meeting of the Rural Schools Association in Cooperstown.
This is my first official speech, if this is a speech, to any group in the state of New York. You're it, guys.
Commissioner Elia, who began her job on July 6th, was not really prepared to give a full address at the Rural Schools Association, but she gamely offered her remarks after spending the day attending sessions and meeting school board members and administrators at their summer gathering. Elia, a Western New York native, began her teaching career in the Buffalo suburb of Amherst before eventually becoming the superintendent of a large school district in Florida. She comes back to New York at a time when parents are so upset over what top politicians say was the botched rollout of the new Common Core learning standards that they allowed their children to boycott the tests. Around one-fifth of students statewide did not take the math and English tests required for third through eighth graders last spring. To add to that, the teachers' union is feuding with Governor Cuomo, and school boards are worried about the implications of a property tax cap that's been extended for another 4 years. Perhaps as a way to ease the strife, Elia says she intends to take everyone's views into consideration and work with them. She says there's one word to describe her style.
It would be the word collaborative. We worked with our union.
Elia received credit for working with teachers in her previous job in Florida. She was asked to leave, though, last February after some new school board members were elected. The new commissioner says New York teachers who are seeking more input into standardized tests that will be used to rate their performance will get more chances to design those tests going forward under a new contract signed with testing company Questar. Questar was chosen over Pearson, which previously held the contract and became a lightning rod for complaints.
I'm going to work very hard to have teachers be part of the agenda to support students, and I think that will help us a lot. And that will go a long way for teachers to feel like they have a voice in what's happening.
Elia says schools may be granted one-year waivers to delay new teacher evaluations championed by Governor Cuomo and passed during the state budget if they can demonstrate that they are working with their teachers' unions toward designing new reviews. The waivers were created by the State Board of Regents following complaints by schools that a deadline of this November was not enough time.
If they show that there is good progress being made or that there's a strong attempt to make, then they'll be in a position to access a waiver.
Governor Cuomo has said he hopes the waivers are granted as exceptions and not the rule. David Little, executive director of the Rural Schools Association, says the one-year waiver option helps.
The waivers help with an incredibly doctrinaire law that didn't recognize the realities of the situation.
But he says the law itself is fundamentally flawed.
The real solution to that was to change the law, not to have everybody exempted from the law, and then have you be over a barrel with the union in order to get it done on time. and have to prove that you have a hardship to do it. In order to prove a hardship, you're going to have to say that we can't get this agreement, which leads to discord with your local teachers.
Little says he hopes that under the new education commissioner, the adults will stop bickering and get back to figuring out what's best for the kids. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
Joining us now, Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Chartok. Well, Alan, for the first time since he became governor, Andrew Cuomo's favorability ratings among the voters of New York now has dropped below 50%, an important marker for a politician.
Well, I know that the Cuomos feel very strongly about this, and I've heard it many, many times from Papa Cuomo while he was alive, and I was talking to him. He said, when a politician drops below 50%, they are in real trouble. Here is Cuomo. What is not so terrible is that if he goes from 50% to 49%, what's trouble for him is that if you take a look at it as a graph, it keeps going down. It doesn't go up. Now, in some cases, the president's case, for example, he's been low, but he gets high based on performance. What's happening here, and if you take a look at this last Siena poll, you will see that New York City is the key. Look, Andrew Cuomo won New York City pretty big and Long Island, but he did not win upstate New York. So when New York City begins to drop in the polls and begins to say, you're not doing well, that means the word is getting out there, and that can't be good for him. So if you look at that poll, you just see that dissent is regular and has not been reversed.
He had a conversation this week with firebrand politician, the Republican Assemblyman Jim Tedisco.
Great fun.
Often.
Love the guy.
You often talk about how he comes up with ideas and the majority then promptly steals them.
Well, you know, stealing in the legislature of good ideas has been done for a long time. The majority parties, God forbid, the minority parties come up with something good and the majority parties want it. They simply take it, cross out the person in the minority party's name and put their own names on it. I remember once when I was just starting around here and was walking the halls of the legislature, somebody had put a poster up, put several up, which were accusing the majority party of having engaged in bill napping. But Tedesco is a very clever fellow. He's in an endangered species called the Republican minority in the state assembly. But he keeps coming up with sort of great little ideas, and like going paperless, for example. Why should we have all those thousands of trees being cut down when we have computers these days? It's ridiculous. So he comes up with this thing. He saves millions of dollars. And he says, it doesn't really matter that my name isn't on a particular bill. And, you know, he's right because he's so good at letting people know that this is his idea that it doesn't much matter that a bunch of invisible Democrats in the same House try to take the credit for what he did.
He also wants to make the session 3 months long and give them that last week to get everything done after that.
He says it only takes a week in the end anyway. They could take 6 months. They show up Monday night. They go home Tuesday. And then 6 months, he said, so it all gets done in the last week anyway. So why have a six-month session when you can have a three-month session and still do everything in the last week?
Well, we mentioned the poll before about Governor Cuomo. There's another poll that was out, and it has to do with the fight between Governor Cuomo and Mayor Bill de Blasio. There's been some sparring going back personally about the two. And looks like the governor got the edge.
He does. First of all, people know the governor, especially upstate. They don't know the mayor in New York City. The mayor in New York City is taking a progressive stance. And that is very dangerous for him because the thing that people care about more than anything else is their own safety. And the mayor has off and on feuded with his own police commissioner as to whether some of the simple things like jumping over turnstiles in the subway or public urination or things of that kind are worthy of arrest. The police commissioner says, yes, that's how it all started and that's how the crime statistics started to drop. It turns out that the people who are doing the little crimes may also be doing many of the big crimes. And all of a sudden, you know, there was a drop in this, and not only in the city, but other places. So New York City, for a progressive, is a minefield. That's why, even in New York City, it's a pretty even break between de Blasio, you know, and Cuomo. And yet Cuomo's numbers in New York City are going down.
Let's talk about a New Yorker named Donald Trump, who seems to be at the top of the polls along with Jeb Bush in the presidential contest.
In some places, he's beating Jeb Bush. This is a guy who has been called a clown and other things by many other people. And yet, he's got a lot of money. He says he now has $10 billion, and he has a lot of money to pay for his own campaign. He goes to the lowest common denominator and talks about, you know, don't let those immigrants in. You know, Lou Dobbs used to do it on television. And he is dangerous. And it well could be that he could win the nomination. Extraordinary, but he could. And if, you know, if people of like-minded groups come out in very concentrated numbers for primary, he could well win. Bernie Sanders could win in the Democratic Party. Bernie Sanders is not a dangerous man, except to some people. But the middle class, if that were the election, wouldn't that be interesting to see? Donald Trump versus Bernie Sanders. Where would people go?
Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Chartok. You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. A memorandum of understanding between the Cuomo administration and New York State Senate Republicans suspending a statewide ammunition registry program has opened up a political can of worms, causing a commotion at the Capitol. The Legislative Gazette's Dave Lucas explains.
One provision of the New York Secure Ammunition and Firearms Enforcement Act of 2013, commonly known as the SAFE Act, called for an ammunition database to be rolled out in January 2014. Cost and the difficulty of implementation became obstacles apparently too difficult to sidestep. An agreement signed late last week by Senate Majority Leader John Flanagan and top Cuomo aide Jim Mulatris says the idea to build a database is being shelved for now because the state police don't believe the technical wherewithal exists to create it. That news unleashed celebration among some Republicans and gun rights groups and concern among some Democrats and gun reform advocates. A rash of criticism led Governor Andrew Cuomo's counsel, Alfonso David, to say the suspension of the ammo registry program was a gesture meant to assure the public that it would not move forward prematurely. Gun rights advocates see the MOU as potentially leading to a full repeal of the SAFE Act. Cuomo spokesman Rich Azzapardi says nothing has changed. Plans to move forward with the database continue.
No provision of the SAFE Act, including the ban on internet ammunition sales, has been rolled back or altered due to this memorandum. This simply acknowledges what has been said previously. The ammunition sales database will not be prematurely introduced until a technology is ready, and it does not create an undue burden for business owners.
Republican Assemblyman Steve McLaughlin, a SAFE Act critic since day one, represents the 107th District.
What really bothers me here is that the thought that you can just roll out a memorandum of understanding and expect the people of New York to buy that and believe that that is now has the force of law is a pretty scary thought coming from a guy that's the governor and was the ex-attorney general and coming from the Senate. The fact that they think that this is going to hold water is galling to me. And in effect, this is actually weaker than a one-house bill. I mean, we pass one-house bills all the time. They don't go anywhere. This is weaker than that.
Some Democrats argued the MOU circumvents Assembly Speaker Carl Hastie, which brings the pact's constitutionality into question. McLaughlin says those who support the Second Amendment aren't going to be too happy with Governor Cuomo if they have to go through a background check every time they buy a box of 22 shells.
So it's one of two things. He's afraid to roll it out, or let's say they can't get it built. So what they're saying is, we can't get this thing built anyway. So let's pretend that we're not going to roll out the background check until some later date in the future, which is undetermined by us. I mean, it is bizarre. That's my read on it.
The Working Families Party went so far as to suggest the governor was willing to chuck the gun law to foster goodwill with Republicans. Again, Cuomo spokesman as a party.
it's no longer surprising that the same advocates who are paid to oppose the governor continue to ignore his progressive record and cherry-pick issues to get outraged about.
David released a statement bent on clarifying what he called the mischaracterization of the MOU, which reads in part, "The memorandum can in no way supersede the law as passed by the legislature, and further, there is nothing in the memorandum that is inconsistent with the letter, spirit, or intent of the law. We need an operational database, but it must also be effective and functional. It will promote public safety and save lives. Responsible government requires nothing less."
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Dave Lucas.
A $9 billion healthcare bill passed by the House of Representatives contains language authored by an upstate New York congressman to battle Lyme disease and other tick-borne illnesses. The Legislative Gazette's Lucas Willard reports.
The House overwhelmingly passed the 21st Century Cures Act, which includes a host of regulatory reforms and sends $9 billion to the National Institutes of Health for biomedical research, as well as $500 million to the Federal Food and Drug Administration. The bill also includes language that was not taken up in the Senate last year to require the U.S. Secretary of Health and Human Services to develop a plan to fight tick-borne illness. Republican Chris Gibson of New York's 19th District, who pushed for the language to fight tick-borne illness, said more than 300,000 Americans are suffering from Lyme and other infections.
It is now a public health scourge. This is ground zero in upstate New York for Lyme disease.
Since the condition originating from Lyme, Connecticut was discovered in the early 1980s, activists have called on governments to recognize the disease. Gibson said he has been hounded by questions about it since his first run for Congress in 2010.
It seemed like not a day or two went by that I didn't have somebody come up to me and say either they were personally impacted or somebody in their family or friends were personally impacted. And this is an area where, quite frankly, there has been controversy, some medical controversy, but one thing is clear, that we have people suffering.
The bill would acknowledge Lyme, prioritize federal research on Lyme disease, and bring together local scientists and physicians to help shape research on a national level.
We believe this is going to help with diagnosis, with treatment, and ultimately with insurance company coverage. And here's why. Because when I press the insurance companies and say, how come you're not paying for more of this? Our people are suffering. They say, well, you know, if it was approved care, well, then we pay for more of it. This is why the guidelines changing is so important and why this bill is the path to help get us there.
Dr. Holly Ahern, a professor of microbiology at SUNY Adirondack and co-founder of the upstate-based Lyme Action Network, said current diagnostic tests for Lyme disease miss 50% of cases, and better diagnostics would lead to better means of treatment. More research would also lend to better means of prevention.
Prevention is tricky. There are vaccines in the works that will protect people from exposure to one tick-borne disease, but not all of them.
Gibson is confident the bill will pass this year because it is included within the 21st Century Cures Act. Co-sponsor Democrat Sean Patrick Maloney was scheduled to join Gibson along with Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro and Dutchess County Commissioner of Health Dr. Carl Reber to discuss the legislation Monday in Poughkeepsie. Other original co-sponsors of the bill include Joe Courtney of Connecticut, John Katko, Elise Stefanik, and Lee Zeldin of New York, Lou Barletta of Pennsylvania, and Peter Welch of Vermont.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Lucas Willard.
You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Giustina. Echoing a theme that he has championed for years, New York State Attorney General Eric Schneiderman was at the Plattsburgh office of the Legal Aid Society to highlight state programs that help homeowners at risk of losing their homes. The Legislative Gazette's Pat Bradley was there and filed this report.
New York's attorney general came into office during the housing crisis in 2011 and found that the state's housing market had collapsed and resources did not exist to help families struggling to pay their mortgages.
It was and remains one of my top priorities as New York State Attorney General to try and help families hurt by the crash of the economy and to hold accountable those who caused it.
The attorney general has created a number of programs to deliver legal assistance to aid property owners. Using $100 million from the multi-billion dollar bank settlements, the Democrat launched the Homeowner Protection Program, or HOP, in June 2012. Other programs have been developed, and Schneiderman says no other state has the combination of programs providing free legal aid to struggling property owners.
As long as I'm Attorney General, no one is going to lose their home because they could not get to a lawyer. So the first major step we took was to set up the Homeowner Protection Program, which is a network of legal services and housing counseling providers. We fund almost 90 agencies all across the state to help New Yorkers stay in their homes. But many families in New York need a mortgage modification, but a lot of folks have a very small debt that prevents them from qualifying for modifications. So we created New York State's Mortgage Assistance Program, or MAP, where we make non-interest-bearing loans available to families to pay off these small debts, clear up their balance sheets so that they can qualify for mortgages.
Schneiderman is also confronting so-called rescue scams that take advantage of homeowners before they find out about the state's programs.
These rescue scams are particularly despicable because they take people who are already victims of the crash of the housing market and make them victims again. So we've created a web-based app, which is called agscamhelp.com, and check to see if a mortgage assistance company is legitimate. Just type the company's name into the search box, and you can see if the company has been vetted by either my office or by the Federal Department of Housing and Urban Development.
The Legal Aid Society of Northeastern New York and Friends of the North Country receive funding from the Homeowner Protection and Mortgage Assistance Programs to provide free legal assistance and counseling so people can avoid foreclosure. Legal Aid Deputy Director Peter Reset says they are essential services for struggling homeowners.
Equity in the home is a valuable resource that permits a family to enter and remain in the middle class. Home equity can help finance higher education for children and grandchildren. Home equity can provide a secure retirement, and home equity can help provide a source of wealth to be passed to successive generations. Moreover, home ownership gives people a stake in their community. The foreclosure crisis of the past few years has been a real threat to the prosperity here in the North Country and all over the state. The Attorney General's programs allow us to help people get fair and accurate loan modification and refinancing decisions from lenders, and levels the playing field in court for those homeowners facing foreclosure.
Almost half of the foreclosures in northeastern New York are so-called zombie properties, abandoned and unmaintained properties that banks have not foreclosed on. Plattsburgh Mayor James Calnon calls them blights on communities.
We've chased down ownership of properties sometimes for 2 and 3 years and really haven't been successful in getting things done. The Attorney General's efforts there are greatly appreciated. His efforts is really important to keeping our neighborhoods the kind of places that people want to live in.
The Attorney General's office is working with land banks in New York to use $33 million from the National Mortgage Settlement to acquire vacant, abandoned, tax-delinquent, or foreclosed properties and return them to marketable use. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Pat Bradley.
And that about does it for this week's show. We had help from the New York State Public Radio Network. For copies, call 1-800-323-9262. That's 1-800-323-9262. And ask for program number 1529. Or just listen or podcast on the web at wamc.org. And join us again next week at this same time for more news on New York State government and politics. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm David Gustina.
Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.